The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Allow me to read the words. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with her faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Amen. The 100th Anniversary Memorial Church is striving to serve its mission and responsibility as Christians by seeking to become a united church, a holy church, a universal church, and an apostolic church. Based on the Bible, and by living out our faith in our daily lives and turning our daily lives into acts of faith. This is because we believe this is how we inherit the faith and spirit of the 100 years of Christianity in Korea, and that this is the mission of the Pavemaker toward the 200th anniversary of Christianity in Korea. The members of the church have also humbled themselves and looked to God alone in making the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial holy grounds of Christianity in Korea. Among the external activities of the church, the ones I would like to encourage and commend is the management of the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Hall, making it grounds of serving and evangelism. Among the church's internal achievements that I would like to encourage and commend is setting up the articles of association from the beginning and keeping to these articles. Our church was established in July 2005 and set up the articles of association by the end of the same year. Our church's articles have undergone several major and minor revisions and they're observed to this day. Seeing whether a church is managed according to its articles of association are one of the ways to tell whether the church is healthy. When we manage the church according to our articles of association, which supports co-pastorship, we are able to stay away from two main problems the Korean churches are most criticized for: a senior pastor or certain person taking charge of the church's finances or of the church in its entirety, and pastorship succession based on family ties. Next Sunday, the church will convene the Common Assembly to revise the church's articles of association. A few weeks earlier, the church handed out the planned revisions. Let me outline some of them today. First is that the disposal of the church's key property that serves as the foundation of the church's existence should be approved by the operating committee as well as the common assembly. Church property can be divided into general property, important property, and key property that serves as the foundation of the church. Key property that serves as the foundation of the church in the general sense would be the main chapel building of the church. The building in which our church's main chapel is located was built on land owned by the Mapo District Office, so we are using the building on a lease. If the church comes to own the building one day, it would count as key property that serves as the foundation of the church. A sudden sale of such an asset could mean the church may be shut down. So we're seeking to receive the approval from the Common Assembly, which is the General Assembly of our church members. Decisions on other important property will continue to be made at the Standing Committee. The second is that the approval of the financial statements is carried out in April every year. Our church discloses the ledger of the monthly financial statements down to single digits. We distribute it to our members each month and also post it on our church website so that it is accessible to everyone. That alone would serve as an example for the Korean church. But the plan is to go a step further and obtain legal approval from the church members. So if the revisions are passed, the Common Assembly will be held next month for the approval of the financial statements. Third is about the co-pastors. It is that the senior pastor who has received approval from the congregation should receive approval every 7 years. The current Articles of Association state, each newly called senior pastor must obtain the confidence of the congregation 1 year after starting ministry. The senior pastor who fails to gain the trust of the congregation will immediately be dismissed. In other words, if a pastor is called and has gained the trust of the congregation a year later, he or she can continue to serve until the pastor's retirement age of 65. Revisions this time were made so that the senior pastor needs to receive approval from the congregation every 7 years. Pastor Kang Yo-seop will face a vote of confidence in November this year. The latest revisions were not added by the Articles of Association Revision Committee, but by the request of the senior pastors themselves. The revisions are not only intended on having the congregation keep an eye on us, but also to show the will of each senior co-pastor that they will continue to stand properly before the church, that they will seek to confirm whether they should continue to stand in their position. Fourth is the senior pastor during his term of office can be transferred to a full-time pastoral position after receiving reapproval. This part was also added by the request of senior pastors. In our church, we do not use the term associate pastor, but rather the term full-time pastor. Among pastors who work full-time, there are senior pastors and other full-time pastors. Among the full-time pastors, there are those in charge of districts, pastors in charge of external affairs, and pastors in charge of the Sunday school. The church does not consider the position of the senior pastor as a position of dominion, but rather as a role. So I thought that while serving as a senior pastor, I should also be able to serve as a pastor in charge of a district or external affairs. Of course, if a senior pastor takes on such a role, the retirement age and honors will follow that of that role. The amendments, the revisions to the Articles of Association will be passed with the votes of more than one-fifth of the registered voters in the electoral register and the approval of more than two-thirds of the voters. As of today, those eligible to vote are 18 years of age or older and baptized members who have registered with our church for more than 6 months. The number comes down to 8,953. If at least 1,791 church members vote, and if more than two-thirds of those voted agree, the amendments to the Articles of Association will be passed. If possible, please vote by text message on your smartphones or come to the polling station located in the lobby on the first floor of the main building and vote. We ask that you carefully read the 2024 Articles of Association revisions sent by text message and which are also on the church's homepage under the notice section. As I mentioned before, our church has created our Articles of Association since its founding and has been operating the church in accordance with these articles. This is because we believe by doing so, the church would not be controlled by certain people and the church would be managed as a true church. Please pray that we can keep this spirit of service. Today's text testifies to what we need to remember even better than the articles of our church. This is verse 1. On the first day of the week, early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Just before sunset on Friday, Jesus took his last breath on the cross, and his body was placed in a new tomb prepared for him by Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin and a considerably wealthy man. And then dawn came after the Sabbath. This is the day when Jews returned to their usual lives. The woman who visited Jesus' tomb, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, another woman, must have headed to Jesus' tomb because their daily routine for another week had begun. However, it became a historic day when Sunday, the Lord's Day, began. Jacob, who was born as the younger of twins, who was promised the older will serve the younger, lived his life holding on to things like the meaning of his name. But when he wrestled with God's angel at the ford of the Jabbok until dawn, while the socket of his thigh was dislocated, the break of dawn that day was a beginning to renewing the direction of his life, his values and faith. During the reign of the priest Eli, Israel was spiritually dark because the word of God was rare. At that time, Samuel, who was given to God and raised by the priest Eli, heard the voice of God in the middle of the night, and in the morning the doors of the house of the Lord were opened. That morning was the day Israel began to hear the word of God, and it was the beginning of a new era. July 10th, 2005 was the day when Yanghwa Jin's history took a turn And the first day we would worship together as we are doing today. There must have been days like that in our lives and in our walks of faith. It is clear evidence and our testimony that God is at work in the world and in our lives. Let's look at verses 2-3. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. In the passage found in they found and entered and did not find are the same word meaning to discover. This is a way to express that the women were very surprised. The primary concern of the woman heading to Jesus' tomb was how to open the tomb, which was blocked by a large stone and guarded by soldiers. However, they were surprised to find that the stone door of the tomb was already open. And when they entered the tomb, they thought that Jesus' body would be lying in the same state as it had been during the funeral. But they were even more surprised to find that Jesus' body was gone. However, what is more surprising in the passage is that the body of Jesus is referred to as the body of the Lord Jesus. In the New Testament, this is the only time that Jesus before the resurrection is called Lord Curious. The rest were given the title Lord Curious after Jesus was resurrected and ascended to heaven. However, this is verse 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. When the woman confirmed that Jesus' body was gone, they were worried. The literal meaning of the word worried is to get lost, to become lost. The women were at a loss, as if they were lost in an unfamiliar place, not knowing where to go or what to do. But what suddenly caught their eyes were two people wearing brilliant clothes. This brilliance was the brilliance that occurred when Jesus' clothes became white and radiant when he was talking with Moses and Elijah on the mountain ahead of Jesus' death and resurrection. And it was the splendor that surrounded Saul, who was alive and well and heading to Damascus when the resurrected Jesus came to him. Therefore, wearing brilliant clothes means belonging to heaven. And in the Gospels of Matthew and John, two people wearing brilliant clothes are referred to as two angels wearing white clothes. The two angels dressed in brilliant clothes said the following. These are verses 5-7. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." The two angels repeated to the woman what Jesus had said. It was the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This is the essence of Christianity. If we do not believe this, we cannot receive atonement nor inherit eternal life. We are people who believe in Jesus. Believing in Jesus means believing in his words. If you say you believe in someone but don't believe what that person says, it means you don't believe in that person. So, without remembering the word, we cannot enjoy eternal life, and we are far from growing and maturing as Christians. The more we remember and engrave the Word of God in our hearts, and the more we obey the words, the more we're able to know God deeply and in greater breadth, and the stronger our inner self becomes. The New and Old Testaments of the Bible are comprised of 66 books, and the total number of verses is 31,173. All of this is the Word of God. By no means are only the well-known passages and passages that seem to bring comfort whenever you read them the only ones that provide strength and courage. Sometimes, previously unnoticed words spring up like a spring and settle in the center of our hearts, giving us courage and hope. At other times, words that we previously read in passing and considered dull become clearly engraved in our lives and become guideposts or manuals for us to follow. And other times, words that you've tried to ignore or that you wish did not exist come to you like Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Members of the church, what words are most deeply engraved and remembered in your hearts and lives at this moment or until now? Now I have a few Bible verses on my smartphone notepad, and I read them from time to time, meditate on them, and pray based on these verses. Before I used a smartphone, I would purchase a journal for the following year at the end of November each year, and I would write down several Bible verses on the inside cover of the journal I purchased. The verses changed from time to time, but the three most frequently written verses are as follows. Psalm 4, verses 7 to 8. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Whenever I read these words carefully or meditate on them, it always brings a smile to my face. Then I pray like this. Father, please do not let me be happy because I own something, or do not let me mistakenly think that my possessions will protect me. Please don't let me forget that the source of my joy is God. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he had called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. As I mentioned before, I received my calling to become a pastor based on these words. In the fall of my first year in high school, I was reading the Bible in the corner of the chapel, and I couldn't get past this part. Tears flowed uncontrollably. It seemed like God was saying this. The reason you got to know me is not because you are good. It is because I have given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Do you know why I called you? Do you know how rich your reward will be for the work I will entrust to you? At the time, I said the following, God, I have a timid personality and I don't know how to do anything well. God said, I am not telling you to do it with your own strength. Do you know how much power I will have with you? I could no longer refuse. So I asked one more question. Father, there are so many pastors in the world, so why should I become another pastor? What do you want me to do? God confirmed by saying the following. There are many believers in Korea, but I wish their faith would become more mature. Can you please do that for me? Every time I read these words, I try not to forget the grace of God who called me. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If Ephesians 1 verses 17 through 19 is the word that called me to be a pastor. This word is the driving force that drives me to live as a pastor. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is called the resurrection chapter. In the chapter, Apostle Paul powerfully preaches about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our resurrection, and the meaning and value of resurrection over 58 verses. Without resurrection, everything is in vain and meaningless. But if there is resurrection, it is emphasized that we can have hope in any situation. However, the Lord tells us that it is not in vain for us to stand firm, unwavering, and exert our strength in the work of the Lord with the hope of resurrection. So, as long as I have hope of resurrection and as long as I am in the Lord, I believe that everything I do has meaning and value, and that the Lord will one day have me bear fruit. These days, we are sharing the last part of 2 Kings during our early morning prayer sessions. There were a total of 20 kings in southern Judah, and the 16th king among them was King Josiah. After that, the remaining four kings were his three sons and grandson. Josiah ascended to the throne at the age of 8. At that age, it seems he would need a lot of help from his mother. But his evaluation is full of praise, such as he was upright in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the way of David, and he did not swerve to left or right. In particular, King Josiah cleaned out Judah and Jerusalem for 6 years, from the 12th to the 18th year of his reign, from when he was 20 years old until he was 26. High places scattered throughout were removed, and idols, including the Asherah pole, were removed. But the following happened when the temple was being cleaned out. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book," and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. While repairing the damaged parts of the temple, High Priest Hilkiah discovered the book of the law. The book of the law was discovered while taking out the money that people had offered from the chest in the temple. Hilkiah, who discovered the book of the law, gave it to Shaphan, the secretary, who reported the book to King Josiah. When the king heard the book of the law being read, he tore his clothes. It is unclear which part of the law of Moses Shaphan read, but the king must have been heartbroken that the words had not been kept for so long. As we read in the Bible, aren't we at some point faced with the reality that we are not living according to the words of the Bible? At that time, tears flow uncontrollably and our heart breaks because we are sorry for not having kept God's word. The temple is originally a place where the law or the word is kept. The most important thing in the tabernacle, which was essentially the temple, is the Ark of the Covenant, which contains the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. The tabernacle without the Ark of the Covenant is not a tabernacle, but just a tent. Priests would have taken the offered money out of the Ark regularly over a long period of time. However, they only saw money and not the book of the law. Even though the word was nearby, they did not know that it was the word and lived without it. What did they imprint upon themselves when they heard about King Josiah's life and faith there or after returning to Judah? What did they want recovered? They must have repented for not providing proper religious education to their children. They may also have repented for not being faithful to God when they were younger. Josiah became king at the age of 8 and ruled for 31 years. In other words, he lived until he was 39 years old, although he came to the throne at the age of 8. If we evaluate his entire reign, it is said that he was upright in the eyes of God, walked in the way of David, and did not turn to the left or right. Also, 8 years after he ascended to the throne, at the age of 16, he saw the God of his ancestor David. And for 6 years, from the 12th year to the 18th year, after ascending to the throne, when he was 20 to 26 years old, he led a reform by getting rid of idols and observed Passover throughout the country. When King Josiah opened his window to God from an early age and turned his gaze toward God, God renewed the entire nation through him. No matter how young a person is, as long as he or she opens a window toward God and makes God his or her purpose, God will work through that person. No matter how insignificant we may seem, if we open a window toward God and remember God's word, our families, places of work, and lives will be renewed through us. Today is the third Sunday of Lent, a time when we meditate on the suffering of the Lord and remember His resurrection. If you have not tried to remember the Word of God in your life, but have remembered worldly values and followed that path, let us repent our faults and foolishness. And let us turn around and place the Word of God above our lives, and place our lives beneath the Word of God, so that the Word of God becomes the standard of our lives. If we do not remember the words of God, the words of the world and people will capture us. Those words make us treat things that are not the essence as if they were the essence. And they make us misunderstand illusions as reality and encourage us to waste our lives on things that are not eternal. Only the Word of God saves us forever, because it was told by the Eternal One. So if we open our window to God and walk along the path of the Word, the dazzling resurrection of the Lord will become our hope. Let us pray. Father God, the woman, including Mary Magdalene, visited Jesus' tomb to anoint His body with spices, but they could not find His body. They heard from two men dressed in brilliant clothes that Jesus suffered, died, and rose again, as Jesus had previously said. Although the women were devoted to Jesus, they did not remember Jesus' words at first. Just as during the reign of King Josiah, the priests went to the temple every day but did not recognize that the book of the law was in it. There were times when we went to the chapel every Sunday and lived with the Word of God always by our side, but lived as if the Word was not there. We pray that we may hear the Word every day, walk along the path of the Word, and experience the resurrection beyond suffering. There will be a common assembly convened next Sunday to pass the amendments to the Articles of Association. Thank you for allowing our church to establish these articles from its beginning and run the church according to them. Please let this also pave the way for the 200th year of the Korean church, and also let us serve as a milestone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.